Hello, Possums. As a celebration of reaching 1,000 listens, we have decided to release an episode from the vault. And as this was recorded in about January, before I went into hospital and ruined everything, everything we talk about is no longer relevant. But what is relevant is what the episode is about. Please enjoy Forests, the Lost Tapes.
Double, double, toil and trouble. Some topics discussed may make people uncomfortable. For fair is foul and foul is fair. On this podcast, we will definitely swear. A lot. Now round the cauldron go, trigger warnings listed in the notes below. Thrice and once the hedge pig whined, the cocktails cry, it's time, it's time.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. Maiden, mother, crone. Plot twist, we're all the crone. The stories aren't all made up and the points don't matter.
Welcome, listeners, to The Weird Sisters, a podcast about the blurst and bizarre and all the things you were happier not knowing about.
Ladies.
Gentlemen.
And jelly spoons. We are back.
Everything in between. Hi, team.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. Good. Crashing. Had two coffees and an energy drink, but we're going to get there.
Surprise, surprise, we do record episodes in groups sometimes, and we're recording two today, and we are little babies, and we get tired, and we haven't had enough sugar, and we're crashing.
It's almost dinner time.
Don't worry. This is an exciting episode. We'll get hyped up as we talk, I'm sure.
Yes. So before we start, we have exciting news.
Do we?
Yes.
Oh.
Some lovely ladies got into university. The
course. Oh,
yes.
Woo!
Yes. That is us.
Yes.
So, Tay, you got into Swinburne 4.
Creative Writing, Bachelor of Media.
Fuck yeah, my dude.
Hell yeah.
Proud of you.
And yes, they can't get rid of me.
Yeah. They can't.
No, never leave. Yeah. As long as our study's paying, you ain't going.
Shout out to Nick, Speary and Jackie. You're not getting rid of me that easily.
And Tim. Tim listens to us occasionally too.
Sup, Tim.
Sup, Tim.
Tim wants us to do cannibals again. He has some very cool stories to pass on to us.
Oh, I would do cannibals
Mate.
For Tim.
Put it in the roster, put it in the calendar.
In the roster, for you, Tim.
Special Tim episode. And Laura, Uni of Melbourne.
Yay! Woo! I'm elitist piece of shit now.
Sorry, you had to pay for your...
I had to pay for them to tell me that I was trash and they didn't want me. But then they turned around and said they did want me.
That's so American, having to pay for...
I know.
To apply.
Yeah.
It's fucking wanky as well, because I was like, okay, so I'd like to apply, but you guys need an ATAR, and I don't have one because I fucking failed miserably at high school.
High school was a hard time.
Yeah, I just bailed hard on that last year. And they're like, oh, okay, well, your results that you have from your previous TAFE work might allow you to get in. I'm like, might as in I will or it won't? They're like, we don't know. I'm like, but I have to pay money to find out. They're like, yep. I was like, oh, okay. Thanks.
All HDs, son.
Yeah. I'm smart. I'm not. I'm really not.
Mate, smart enough for Melbourne Uni.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
Or smart enough that they wanted my money.
Get me a keychain.
Yes.
From their store, which costs you $25. excellent.
And also, Lauren, may she rest in peace.
Wow.
Also got into Uni of Melbourne.
She did.
For the same course.
Yeah, we're both doing Bachelor of Arts.
That's cute.
We smart. Not really.
Very smart.
Yeah. Lars smart.
Lars
very so clever.
If I died in hospital, she could have totally replaced me.
She would have done your autopsy.
I can just leave you guys my dead body just to look at while it dissolves in the backyard.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We once again have not fucking introduced ourselves. Nobody knows who the fuck we are. Do they want to? Probably not.
All right.
Who are you?
I'm Lacey. I am the tree witch with barbed teeth who wants to feast on your children.
That's lovely. I like it. Aww.
My name is Tay, and I'm the body rotting in your body farm.
Oh. I am Laura. I, even as we sat here talking, did not fucking think ahead. I don't know what I am. I'm going to be the little old grandma that fucking gets abandoned in the woods when it comes time for the harsh winters. And I turn into a fucking witch and I build gingerbread houses to eat your children.
And
I don't
then
know.
She turns into me. I'm the final form.
Perfect. Yeah, it's full circle.
Full circle. It's and then Tay's just in the backyard.
Rotting.
Yes. We do have a body in your backyard right now, potentially rotting. A fucking bird flew into the window and it's very stunned, and we don't know if the dog had a go at it or not. Sweet Maisie, we hope you never did.
We wrapped it in a towel and
that's all
it.
We did, because we're like, what do we do?
Yeah,
we're not real Disney princesses. No. We can't actually help.
No, but Maisie is super excited. It's made her day.
Yes.
So if you hear little things that you hear, like children screaming, that is actually my dog.
Yeah,
pining
wanting
for
to
the
eat
pigeon.
The bird. Looking to eat the pigeon. We have a theme.
Forests.
Yes, very cool.
Mm-hmm. We like groups of trees and the things that live in them.
Yes, we do.
We're all tense.
No one can see it. One day we're going to fucking record us recording this podcast. I mean, video record us recording this podcast. Maybe
Joe
like,
Rogan style.
No, but did you do this before? No one could fucking see you, but you still danced and pointed at things and made faces. We're like, yes, because we're stupid.
Yeah, and it'll be an event. I'll go get my makeup done at Mecca.
Yeah. I'll pay $100 for the privilege of some chick who doesn't really know how to do makeup to slather paint on my face.
I've always had good results.
I've had one. I've had one very good result, but yeah, there's only so much you can do with a bad canvas.
Dude.
You
incorrect.
You're
lying to yourself.
I can't. I don't know how.
Yeah, no. Somebody told me that and I was like,
what?
Being kind to yourself. Like, how, if I'm horrible to myself, I get things done. Being kind to myself means that nothing gets done.
I know. Also, like, if I make fun of myself, no one can hurt me and tease me because I already do it for you.
Yeah.
Nothing you say will make me sad because I already said it.
Yes, we don't carry trauma from high school. This is fine.
Taylor, stay away from me.
Alrighty. Who's up first?
I think I am.
Yes.
Because I remember we tried to record this episode before, by the way. Okay. So, okay. So a couple of episodes ago, you probably heard me talking about the fact that I'm dumb and I fucked up my own audio. Well, another time before that, I fucked up my own audio again and I didn't record any of my episode for the notes that we're about to read to you. So we've tried to do this episode before, and now this is take number two, and I've forgotten everything I ever said or learned about this episode.
So yeah, I've been in a K-hole in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
So this is genuinely a surprise for you when we say these things we've said to you before.
Yes.
It's all fresh. It's all new.
Yeah. And I can't remember any of it. So let's see how we go.
Now.
Okay. Well,
let's do it.
I'm going to fucking get right into it.
That's the thing.
Disclaimer. Lots of suicide in this one. Okay. Lots of suicide. So if this is something that upsets you, you may skip.
Come over
if
to
you...
my bit, the Bennington Triangle.
Yeah.
Not that much suicide.
God knows how long it takes me to get through this, so just skip until you don't hear me talk anymore. But if you do need help or assistance or are you experiencing any bad thoughts, Lifeline's always there. 13 11 14 is their number. Give them a call if you need help. They are wonderful people.
Hell yeah.
So fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, Lifeline.
Fuck yeah, Lifeline.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay, so I picked one that's been done to death, but I don't give a shit. My pun was 100% intended. and before anyone says anything, I know you've probably fucking listened to a podcast about it. You've probably already been on Atlas Obscura and read about it, but I did fucking Aikigahara. It is cool as shit.
Yes.
Listen to me rant about it. So if you didn't know, Aikigahara is a forest in Japan. It covers the northwest foot of Mount Fuji. Mount Fuji is a volcano that last erupted in the early 1700s, and it's around about 100 kilometers southwest of Tokyo. Easy day trip.
It's been dormant for a while.
Hot minute. Might erupt again. No, I don't know. It might not. It probably won't. I have no fucking idea. I'm just talking shit now.
I love volcanoes.
I know.
I love them.
Very cool.
Very cool. I didn't get to go to see Fuji-san. I only saw him from the Shinkansen.
Yeah,
oh,
me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Look, we have to go to Japan together.
Yes.
Podcast trip.
Podcast trip featuring
when we're famous.
Me on the podcast now. It's been spoken into like concrete. It's been said. It's gonna happen now.
Yeah.
Can't go back on it.
Yeah.
Put it out into the universe and shit.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Carry on.
Okay. So, the forest is around 35 square kilometres. It has grown over lava flows that were laid down by Fuji's last major eruption in 864 CE, Common Era, for those of you who don't know that.
Thank you.
yeah. So it's replaced because, like, BC and AD are biblical terms because obviously it refers to the birth of Christ.
Yes.
Common Era has basically replaced AD.
Okay.
So there is before Common Era, BCE, and then there's Common Era, which is basically from, like, Christ to now.
Okay.
2,000 years. I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah. If it's not, don't tell me.
Do not come for us.
Yes, stop. So the hardened lava is extremely uneven. The terrain is filled with large caves and tiny crevices. Outside the maintained pathways, you're constantly climbing over craggy hills filled with ankle-breaking holes and ducking under branches. Many parts of the forest are extremely dense with tightly packed trees, so dense they actually block out the light and the sound. Legend says that the magnetic iron deposits of the volcanic soil in the floor disrupt compass signals and electrical objects like mobile phones, etc. Aokigahara is also known as Jukai, Sea of Trees, which references the thick carpeting effect of the trees over the foot of the mountain. It also has another name, the Suicide Forest.
Spooky.
It is actually very spooky and very sad. I don't know why I'm being a dick about it.
So you went there and when?
I went there twice. I've been there in 2014 and I went there in 2017. I only remember that because every time I scroll back through my photos on my phone, it gives me the dates. basically it's called the Suicide Forest because it is literally one of the world's most popular, doesn't feel like the right term, but I'm going to use it anyway, suicide sites. So the first list, well, the list includes Nanjing Yatsi Bridge in China. I'm going to butcher all of these pronunciations because
Golden Gate has to be one of them.
Yes, there's a really good fucking documentary on the Golden Gate Bridge. So the Nanjing Yatsi River Bridge, I'm very sorry. Tell me how to pronounce it. There's over 2,000 known deaths between 1968 and 2006 there.
Shit.
Wow.
So that's like almost 10 years ago. Well, it's over 10 years ago now, so fuck knows how many more since. The Golden Gate Bridge in California with over 1,600 known deaths. Again, documentary called The Bridge. Really good. Very sad. Don't watch it if you're depressed. Lacey. Lacey, Lacey.
Ashley clutches a seal.
And the Prince Edward Viaduct in Toronto has 492 deaths before a prevention barrier was erected in 2003.
Just 492 before they were left. Fucking prevention barrier.
I know.
Let's put a thing up.
Do you remember when there was fights about putting up a suicide barrier on the Westgate Bridge in Melbourne?
Yeah,
fights. And people were like, don't do it. We're like, fucking why not? Why? There was a woman who threw herself and her baby off of there. Yeah. Like, fucking put up suicide barriers.
So dumb.
Yeah, so dumb.
Are they worried that it's going to ruin the, like, aesthetic of the bridge or something?
It's an ugly-ass bridge.
I know, it's really ugly. I can't remember. It's actually, like, also a very traumatic bridge because when they built it, they fucked up.
When was this happening?
It's around the 40s or 50s, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. That's, yeah. They had, like, a margin for error. They had, like, so many men. They were like, this project is this big. This means that 35 men will die and that's they'll write it off.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, this is how building and construction worked in Australia for a very fucking long time. My dad was a welder on the Dartmouth Dam, which was a huge, huge project. And it is the reason, you know, why we have such good water. It was part of the Snowy Mountain Hydrogen Scheme or some shit. It was huge. And they were like, okay, so 35 men are going to die. Because it was the 70s and it was... Helmets were
What are?
Optional.
They were smoking fucking Marlboro packets while they were welding, like, all these tiny things.
Your cigarette with your welding torch.
You probably did. Shit, Marlboros were the go. But they were like, okay, so 35. And that was like a normal thing. They'd be like, okay, yeah.
What the fuck? You're a font of knowledge, by the way.
God, I missed you.
They only...
I forgot I had cool shit to tell you, and I totally forgot about it until now, but continue and then remind me I have things to say.
I will. It'd be cool if I could edit in the right amount of people who died.
It's like a cool dad, and he can be like this.
Like, if you message me and tell it to me, I can maybe edit in. Otherwise, people are just going to hear this.
No, don't.
Big clap. Big clap.
I think there was something like under 20 that died on the dam.
Okay.
And the go was, so if somebody died and their body wasn't like right there, you just left it.
What?
Mm-hmm. It would become part of the dam.
That's like the Great Wall of China. It's got heaps of bodies buried in it for similar reasons. They're like, just throw them in. My little sister taught me this. They went recently to China and walked on the wall, and they're like, yeah, there's just fucking bodies in there.
But everything is haunted at all times ever.
But none of them were kept in there.
Okay. Oh,
because people, the men,
yep.
Retrieve them.
Okay.
Good on them.
One guy like was digging this body out, and he would dig with his grader for a little while and look down with the torch and then just keep going a little bit. I think it took him all night to recover the body.
Oh.
But they didn't want him to be in there. They wanted him to have a funeral.
Like, good.
Good on him.
Fuck. That's fucking sad.
Fun fact, guys. The Dartmouth Dam project was so big, it outsold Melbourne CBD for beer in Victoria.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And they
thirsty
were
work.
Also, and they were also the community of men, because it was like 5 years, this project, all these young men working up
shit.
There. And they were also like one of the biggest donors for Good Friday, Good Children's Appeal.
Damn, fucking
come
hell.
Through.
That was not meant to be a joke.
Yeah. But there you go.
I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah. I loved it.
It took me about a second.
A second.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Fuck. Well, shit. I have things that you will like to hear.
Okay.
Some of them you already heard on last week's podcast, or the other week's podcast, when I said about... Excuse me. I'm dying. I will edit this out.
You're going to edit out my bit? Give it a good...
I'm going to edit out me. So, did you hear me talking? Oh, my God, I still... It's still gone.
Did you want me to get you some water?
No, coffee should do it. It's just, I think, it feels like there's a bug in my throat.
Oh, God.
It's not.
Man, either episode. Bye. Love.
Okay.
She wants us still.
All right. Did you hear me talking about the limbless babies?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, because I learned things while I was away from you on
yes.
holiday. I learned another thing. And I've told you about this already, but I didn't say it on the podcast, and it's cool. So, I'm telling you again, pretend you didn't know about it.
Cool. Yeah, can do.
Do you remember the Sydney Hilton hotel bombing? You're probably the only person in the world who fucking knows about it, because you know all this weird historical shit about Australia.
Yeah, maybe. I think so.
Okay, so in 1978, in Sydney, basically a really young guy went and fucking tried to bomb. It's like a political figure that came to the Hilton hotel. He tried to bomb them and kill them and ended up killing a couple of garbage men because he put it in a garbage can. And I think a cop from memory. There's like three people who died.
Yeah.
That guy, Evan Pederick, is now, as of this moment, my nanny's priest.
The bomber.
So he went to prison for 20 years when he was like quite young.
Yeah.
Found Jesus.
And now he teaches my nanny's church and preaches there and all that shit.
What kind of fucking denomination shit is he
she
fine
is
with?
Evangelical.
Oh, yeah. That
or Anglican. No, wait.
If it's evangelical, it's like happy clappy.
I think they're Anglican. I don't fucking know. I used to go there. Like, it's the oldest church in WA.
Okay, so I don't think it would be.
Let me Google it.
Cool. So God forgives everyone.
Apparently.
It's good. Mm-mm. Cool. Mm. Cool.
Yeah. So that's
he
a time.
He murdered people and he's a priest.
It's an interesting time.
He's going to get like double demon powers when he dies.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like when he dies, somebody will need to salt his grave.
Okay, so he is at All Saints Church, which is where my nanny goes, and it is the oldest church in Western Australia. It was built in 1838. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks
That's where I got christened and shit.
Oh, God.
Yes, I have been christened. That's cool. I get to go to heaven even though I've done all this terrible shit. Because religion.
Oh, my God. I did two classes of RE in primary school. Can I get into heaven? They had puppets and chocolate, and I came back from colouring in the gym because that's where they said the kids who didn't do the religious class. And I was like, they get puppets and chocolate. This is fun as hell. I was like, I want to do it. And then I went and it was like, they never did that again.
That's like, how they lured you in.
So I pulled out two classes later and went back to the gym to colour in.
As you fucking should.
Does that mean I get into heaven?
No. Sure.
I went to a lot of religious schools and really, really not religious at all.
Yeah, I know. How interesting. Yeah, I don't believe in God or anything like that, so. Just take your kids to church and they'll fucking hate it.
Like, I don't believe in God, but I do fear him at all times.
So you're a proper Christian girl. Good.
This omniscient presence.
Oh, yeah, there's some things I'm just like, oh, you need to get right with Jesus.
Take the word, Jesus.
How did we get here from a forest?
Well, back to the forest.
Cool.
So,
I feel like we did spend 40 years wandering in a desert. Now we're back to the forest.
Yes, back to the forest. So, Akigahara, temperate broadleaf mixed forest, lots of conifers, broadleaf trees, shrubs, home to Asian black bears, Japanese moles, bats, deer, foxes, boa, rabbits, mink, squirrels, shitloads of birds.
A menagerie.
Oh no, beautiful place. There's a point to me talking about all of this shit. You can stop what you're laughing about.
You can't go in the pot.
Why?
You can't go in.
We can edit it out.
Give a clap before you say it.
I thought you said it was just home to Asians. And you I was like, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Cool.
Okay. Okay. There's a lot of editing I have to do for this episode. Y'all need to start paying me. So I wanted to go to Akigahara for many years. And as we said before, I finally went twice. Mm-hmm. Being a morbid ghoul, I saw the 2010 Vice documentary. Do you guys?
Yes.
You guys have seen this.
Yes.
You're both fucking weirdos who look at crazy shit on the internet.
Yeah.
Vice, where did you go wrong?
Oh,
So, yeah, I saw the documentary, became obsessed. Basically, it follows a geologist called Azusha Hayano. Butchering all the names. He studied the lava flows within the forest for over 20 years, and his work has basically led him to cross paths with lots of people who've come to the forest with the intention of taking their own life. He basically incorporated a suicide patrol into his work and became an expert at recognizing the signs that a person who's visiting has come to take their own life. And he goes around basically trying to talk people out of it. He's like a lovely person. It's a very interesting documentary. It's like 21 minutes long. He's super compassionate. Watch it. It's super easy to find. It was like all over the internet. But there are super graphic images involved because they find bodies. So, yeah, the forest is a creepy fucking place. According to a lot of legends, it's been associated with death and ghosts for a long time. There are legends that back in the day, it was a really popular place to commit ubatsu, which basically translate to dumping the old woman.
So you.
Yeah, me. Basically, you would fucking take me when famines and hard times come out to the forest or the wilderness or some shit and just leave me behind.
Oh, God.
One less person to feed. At least they're not fucking eating me.
It's so grim.
Yeah, basically, it's like when you take your elderly relatives you can't afford to feed anymore. And just abandon them somewhere where they can't come back. Specifically in Japan and this forest, there's a tale about a son who carries his elderly mother up the mountain on his back, and along the way she grabs handfuls of twigs, scatters them behind him so that he can find his way back after he's left her behind. So she fully knows that he's, like, going to dump her and she's going to die of exposure or starvation or some shit. Wild, hey? Like, I don't know. I don't intend to have children, but I'd be like, I fucking birthed you. Yeah. You're going out of this world before me because I'm going to take you out.
I brought you in. I can take you out again.
Exactly. Exactly what my mother threatened me with.
I have this friend whose mother would always say things like, she would always go down, she'd whisper to him. She goes, I was in labor for 72 hours with you. The least you can fucking do is see this through.
I should be talking about, like, his high school exams. Yeah.
Oh, when I think about the things that I've put my parents through.
Yeah.
It's a lot of shame, a lot of regret. I'm sorry, Mum and Dad. Yep. Anyway.
At least your sisters were perfect.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Don't say that. They listen to this. I know. They're pretty good. This is the one time I say it. So, yeah, old lady sits, waiting to die, dehydration, starvation, hypothermia, something fun. And so Aikigahara is said to be haunted by the spirits of those abandoned to their grim fates by the people they love.
Fair.
Yeah. Cool. Why not? Yeah. Wouldn't you? Like,
yep.
Just even just to float around and be miserable for a while and be like, fucking dogs. Didn't appreciate shit.
I feel like I'm one of those ghosts now in this house.
The wailing woman. Am I already dead? No. Nobody's told me.
You're on a podcast, so maybe.
We're here.
Well, found it all super interesting. And basically looked into it and discovered that Ubatsu may only be a legend and may not ever have actually been a commonly practiced event. I did find monitored instances of Grammy dumping that perfectly echo it, though. So I know, exactly, lovely. So in 2011, a 63-year-old man abandoned his disabled sister on a mountain to die. Yeah, that's really fucked up.
Fuck.
A woman was arrested in 2018 for abandoning her aging father at a motorway service station. Fucking sad. The term granny dumping refers to a very slightly tamer practice of abandoning an elderly person in a public place like a hospital, a nursing home, etc. And it's now a phenomenon in the US where around 100,000 people are abandoned every year. Can you imagine just fucking leaving your mom?
No.
Like on the side of the road and be like, bye! Driving off to Disneyland or some shit.
Can't drive.
So you just walk faster than they can.
No, the Uber driver will sort it for you.
Yeah. They're like, why are we just leaving them at Alice Springs in the middle of fucking nowhere?
Shut up, I'll give you a tip. Yeah.
I'll give you 5 stars. If you say anything, 3 stars! 1 star. Ratted me out to the cops. Never again.
Oh, 1 star. No. Touched me inappropriately.
Oh, fucking hell. I'm not sure which is worse. Granny dump? No, I'm not going to compare the two. Anyway. So, morbid little me finally got to Japan. And 2 must-see places on my little list. Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Universal Studios in Japan. Because I'm a nerd.
Same. And,
yeah. And Aikigahara. Yay. So we stayed in a very small, very cute hostel at a place called Lake Kawaguchiko. It's one of 5 sacred lakes that surround Mount Fuji. We rode bicycles up and around the lakes into the forest. It was overcast. I ate sweet corn ice cream at a rest stop by the forest edge, and I explored the bat and ice caves, and then I went in.
Cool.
Very exciting. So there's signs posted all around the edge of the forest that basically say shit like, your life is a precious gift from your parents. Please consider your family, friends, and loved ones, like in Japanese and English all around the edge. Some of the trails have plastic tape wound from tree to tree to act as markers for hikers to find their way back. Every year, police and volunteers perform searches for bodies. Records show that 108 bodies were found and recovered from the forest in 2004 before officials ceased making the findings public. Yeah. Oof. So we don't know how many people are found in this place anymore. According to Azusha, the guide I mentioned earlier from the Vice documentary, the majority hang themselves and the next would be sleeping pills, which are very rarely successful. Do either of you remember the Logan Paul thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yay, the internet. So for anyone who doesn't know.
Just name and shame the prick.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm not editing his name out. Logan Paul, you're a fucking idiot. Anyway, he gets beaten up now on TV. That's he all does. I know.
It's quite funny. He's got such a punchable face.
He does. And I always get him and the other one confused. He has a brother, right?
Yeah. Isn't he called Jake?
Yeah. What does he do?
He married a girl and live streamed it.
Was that Tana Montague? Yes.
Is that the one that was fake?
Yeah, but it's technically real. But the like, they charge people to watch their wedding. They are both so trash humans.
Fucked up. The only reason I know who she is because, yeah. Oh, well, Content Cop.
Oh, God.
Yes. Ian, what's his fucking name?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, don't know. He's fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
But trash marries trash.
Yay. So basically, to explain all the shit that we just babbled, And I only know this because I'm old and lame and had to Google this, a lot of this controversy and have explained to me by younger friends. Logan Paul is an American YouTuber. In December 2017, he visited the forest, Aikigahara, filmed the body of a man who'd hung himself in the forest. He was super aware of the infamy surrounding the forest. They went there to fucking find a body. They talked about it the whole time. They joke about it. They make jokes before, after, and during finding the body and while filming his body. And then they uploaded the video with him visible in it. People went fucking nuts, obviously. Significant backlash. He apologized. People wanted his channel taken down, the works. He just lost a spot on some projects he was involved in, and his channel was removed from Google Preferred that no one fucking uses anyway. No. Otherwise, he was pretty much unscathed. He donated $1 million to suicide prevention agencies. As of Monday, 30th of December 2019, he has over 20 million subscribers, and that just goes to show when we were meant to record this episode. Yeah.
Way back when.
Yeah, way back when.
Last decade.
Oh. I don't like saying it like that. I'm old and crinkly enough as it is. So there's a lot of hype around the forest. I don't really remember what I expected when I first went in. I was just a creepy kid, wanted to go somewhere morbid, but it's not. It's really quiet. The porous nature of the lava absorbs sound. It can be dark when the trees press together, but it's also very beautiful. The sun through the canopy is absolutely gorgeous. The trees grow in super cool shapes. The hardened lava makes a lot of really crazy caves and peaks to climb up. Phone works just fine. Mentioned earlier that people are like, ooh, nothing fucking works. Like, it does. If you put a compass on the ground where the iron deposits are.
But then phones were shit back in the day.
Well, yeah, exactly. And like phones were shit like 10 years ago. Can you remember trying to use the first iPhone?
No, I remember my Nokia brick, though.
My Nokia brick probably still works. Mm-hmm. I bet it's somewhere in my house. I had,
like, one of those, house. Like, sliders because I was...
A BlackBerry?
Oh, no, the Sidekick.
The Sidekick.
Yeah,
oh. Those. Sync for life.
Like, only the coolest Sync-its had those. I had a Razor Flip.
See, I would have the red phone with my red lipstick and my red nails, and then everything else was black. Because that was my aesthetic.
Mine was purple.
I just got hand-me-downs from my mom.
Dressing like a Victorian prostitute for many years of my life.
Sexy. Yeah. Well, they work. There are parts where it's like no person has ever been there, but there are also places that are littered with shoes and tents and dolls and statues, all sorts of shit. I know someone who was a tourist and went to the forest and took the escape key from a keyboard she found in the forest. I find that a little bit crass.
Hate her. 1,000 curses on her house.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, heavy. But yeah, I mean, is that any worse than going there because you're interested in the fact that people killed themselves in the forest? I don't know.
I like forests.
I like the forest, but I'm not going to lie to myself and be like, that's why I went. I went because there was creepy shit surrounding it because I'm a morbid fucking weirdo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I don't think it's very cool to take something that may or may not have been left by someone who was so horribly upset and ended their life, but also I totally went there as a dark tourist, so who the fuck am I to talk about it? Yeah.
Anyway, she's probably possessed by that escape key now.
Oh, yeah. Like the ring and the fuck. No, not the ring, the eye with Jessica Alba. Oh.
Yeah, no.
So, I think the question that a lot of people end up with after learning about this place is why? Why do people go here? Why do people kill themselves here? Do ghosts make you kill yourself? Records of the victims found that people travel from significant distances across the country to take their lives in Aikigahara. Is this the forest's sinister influence? Bum, bum, bum. No, it's totes not. I don't think it's ghosts. I'm very sorry. I'm always this person ruining shit and being like, actually.
Yeah, I can't imagine like the Raja spirit from Spirited Away popping up and being like, you should kill yourself.
Yeah. Totoro is just like hanging out, staring at you like, do it.
No face. No face is just
Yeah, with a noose. Though. Oh, too dark. I'm sorry. That's not funny. There's an explanation for everything.
Okay, cool.
I'm that fucking person who ruins it all. Suicide Forest is one of them. In the 1960s, a guy called Seicho Matsumoto, famous Japanese novelist, published The Tower of Waves. From what I can tell, the novel follows a young woman involved in an affair with man she cannot be with. In the end, she either kills herself in the forest or they both do.
Cool.
Couldn't find any copies of the novel that have been actually translated to English or even have an English summary of it. Basically, I had to troll through some like fucking weird forums. weird places.
She went deep.
Too deep. But many people basically believe that its notoriety as a suicide destination began with this book. Similarly, in 1993, a guy called Wataru Tsurumi published The Complete Suicide Manual, or Complete Manual of Suicide, directly from Wikipedia. It says, this 198-page book provides explicit descriptions and analysis of a wide range of suicide methods such as overdosing, hanging, jumping, and carbon monoxide poisoning. The book provides matter-of-fact assessment of each of the methods and in terms of pain it causes, effort preparation required, appearance of the body, and lethality. So he, Wataru, covers 11 categories of suicide methods. Overdosing, hanging, self-defenestration? Someone tell me how to pronounce this.
What?
Defenestration. There we go.
Yeah, that's it.
It's basically, I can't remember what it is. I have to now fucking try and Google it. Google it, tell me what it is while I continue. So slashing the wrist and or carotid artery, car collision, gas poisoning, electrocution, drowning, self-immolation, so setting yourself on fire, yeah. And freezing, and then 11 is miscellaneous.
I don't believe that he would know the pain level and the success rate.
How?
Oh, my God.
Being alive. How?
Oh, what is it? Oh, my God. What is it? Okay. I remember this.
Me talking about this and then knowing what I was talking about then and now I don't?
Yes.
It means the act of throwing somebody out the window.
Oh, yes.
And then I was like, dude, Prague, 1618. That was a common way of executing people, because if you throw somebody out a window, you're in God's hands. So if God kills them when they hit the ground,
you didn't do shit.
You didn't do shit, and that's not murder. So that's totally
fine. That's fucked up.
So they really would probably climb a tree and fall out of it if they wanted to at that place.
Yeah, true. I guess so.
If you really needed it,
sure.
I also, when you thought about that book on suicide, do you remember in 2007? That there was these 2 16-year-old girls who made a suicide pact, and they had a website that they were following online. It was like on Bebo or something like that, which told you how to kill yourself. It was really fucking detailed.
I remember
Bebo. Oh,
it was really, really detailed. And basically, these girls, I've got their names here, Stephanie Gester and Jodie Gator, and they were basically, it was on MySpace entry that they had, like, they put their suicide note and they went.
MySpace.
And it was, like, the point where, like, the police were, like, we're looking for bodies. We are not looking for alive people. And they were found hanging together side by side in the forest.
Oh.
Yeah. That's sad. They had, like, it was like that book, but it was online. And it told you the place to cut and how, which rope is good.
There's a fucking guy who comes to my work. He's a tripper. Like, he's one of those people that has definitely done too many hallucinogens.
Yeah.
And you're like, bro, why? But, like, when he finds someone he doesn't like, he puts his arms together, presses the wrists out to you and goes, the way out is down the street, bro, and will walk the fuck away. You're like,
fucking edgelord.
Yeah, I was like, that's so what? Funny. I watched him do it to someone and I was like, did he just tell that guy to kill themselves? Like, what? It was insane. And he's done it twice now while I've been there at work. It's very weird.
Is it a customer?
It's a customer.
I'll fight him. I'll fight him in the street. I don't give a fuck.
Him on the beaches. It's fucking wild. Yeah, we fought him on the beaches.
speech.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
All right.
So each chapter begins with a graph assessing the method in question in terms of the pain it causes. The effort of preparation required. We already fucking talked about this. Why is it taking me? I don't know what I've done with these notes, my dudes. I'm sorry. Anyway.
We've been going on lots of tangents.
We have been going on lots of tangents. The book notes Akigahara as the perfect spot for suicide and has been found alongside numerous bodies.
Oh, so they found the book. Okay.
Yes. Ah. So there's definitely an influence from literature. Like, there's not really much of a record showing, did people kill themselves in this forest before either of these two books existed? We don't know. so, yeah, We have literature that puts this place in people's minds since the 60s as the best place to die, compounded with internet coverage. On top of that, Japan has one of the highest rates of suicide in the world. It's become a major national issue. It does appear to be declining as of 2013, but even as of 2014, on average, 70 people a day die by suicide, and 70% of them are male.
That's... Is it more like a... Because of, like... What's the suicide thing that the samurais used to do?
Seppuku and harakiri are two different ones. I forget how they are different, but one of them basically is where you cut open your stomach, and the other one is where your head is also cut off by someone at the as you're performing this action. But yeah, there's a lot of honor in taking your own life. Like, it basically kind of wipes the slate clean, from what I understand.
It's just like a massive societal like pressure, especially on men, as kind of like breadwinner thing. Like, it's so intense.
It's a very strangely rigid, like, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of rigidity about you need to be a performing cog, and if you're not performing your function in society, you may be better off not existing. Like, obviously, I am not Japanese, but I have read a bit about it because it super interests me, and I have spoken to a couple of people who are Japanese about it, and it's really interesting. It's a very big problem there. Mm. So the leading cause of death in men aged 20 to 44.
That's like working age.
Exactly. That's it. So it's like...
If they lose their job.
Yep.
Yep.
I did actually write about this here. So there's like a cultural history of suicide with kamikaze pilots and the honorable formal suicide, such as seppuku and harakiri. Personally, all these factors seem a much more solid explanation for this phenomenon than ghosts. Yeah. But what do I know? That's Aokigahara. It's a very bad movie starring Natalie Dormer. She's super hot, and the movie is really bad.
And she's ageless.
She's gorgeous.
Ageless.
I love her. She's also super, super cool. Every time I see her on TV as just a normal person talking about stuff. Well, not TV, but on the internet. I don't have TV.
Yeah.
She's just being a cool person. So you don't have to watch that. It's not even filmed there. Japanese government doesn't actually allow you to film in the forest. Excuse me.
Really?
Yeah. There's a 2015 film with Matthew McConaughey, Ken Watanabe, and Naomi Watts set there called Sea of Trees. Apparently it also sucks. Haven't seen that one, though. The plot is dumb, though. I read it on the Wikipedia page. It's fucking stupid. There's also Destination Truth episode, which is a ghost hunting TV show that's apparently filmed there. I don't know how the fuck they got clearance to film there if you're not allowed to do it. But this place pops up in heaps of fucking anime, manga, novels, movies, shitloads.
Mm-hmm. Lots of art.
Lots of stuff. All my sources came from ancientorigins.net,
so
japantimes.co, Atlas Obscura, Wikifuckingpedia, because when doesn't it, and agentsvu.com. And then there's a lot of slashes and numbers there. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's Aokigahara. Cheers, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone tell me a story.
That's so nice.
Another spooky forest.
Another spooky forest that I've totally, really forgotten about. I had to have a bit of a quick read. I didn't know what it's called.
Anyway, the lovely ASMR typing for us as well.
I got big secretary nails now.
Yes. You do.
Yeah. Cool beans. Okay, lovers. So you've heard of the Bermuda Triangle.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you know of the Bermuda Triangle?
The Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah.
But it's not really that fucking bad.
I was scared of it as a kid, and I thought I'd have a lot more to do with it in my adult life than
me
I do.
Me too!
Like quicksand, right?
Quicksand should have been a bigger problem by now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always pissed off at, like, the mummy, because, like, there's no quicksand in Egypt.
Is there quicksand in the mummy?
No, you have to have quicksand. It doesn't happen in Egypt.
But does it happen in the movie?
Yeah.
Does it?
I don't remember.
Quicksand's a thing to do with water, right? It's like when you stamp and the water... like content in the sand like disperses and
it's basically where the water is no longer in a state of being liquid or solid because of the content of liquid that's there. I did something about it recently.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Read up on it. It's cool. I can't tell you now. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my contact is also coming out of my eye, so I'm distracted and just poking myself.
Cool beans. So like missing people, missing things.
Yay.
Right? Yep. So the forest equivalent of the Bermuda Triangle is called the Bennington Triangle. And it is like, it's super, super crazy. All right.
first some geographical background knowledge for y'all. Okay, so the Bennington Triangle is arranged around Glastonbury Mountain in Vermont in the US. Mm-hmm. It was given the name the Bennington Triangle by a paranormal author, Joseph A. Citro, because of all the spooky shit, the weird stuff, the unsolved disappearances, and yeah, it pretty much fit the bill. This area to date alone has swallowed up more than 40 people.
Fuck.
Swallowed up.
Swallowed up. They haven't been found.
Strong verbs.
Strong Love verbs. It. Strong verbs. So I've gone through and picked out like the most mysterious ones.
Oh, we've been cherry picked.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So Aokigahara was 35 square kilometers.
Yes.
This one's 93.
Fuck.
It includes a huge mountain range. The forest is dense as fuck. Also includes a ghost town.
Oh, ooh, what?
A whole ass town.
Oh, I remember you talking about this.
Yes.
Yes. For Parks and Recs fans, it's protected by the National Forest. It's part of, like, the things. It's a nice ecosystem of man-eating black bears, coyotes, bobcats, and moose. Moose do not eat people, but they do fuck you up. And if you look at, like, moose attacks... You'd rather be eaten by a bear.
They are fucking much bigger than I thought they were. I'm so sorry. I have to deal with it.
I think they were. I tried to. I think a moose is 19 to 18 hands high, which is how you measure horses.
Yeah.
But horses are like 17, 16
okay.
hands high.
Because like every time I see a video of like a moose on Reddit, I'm always just floored at the size of it. Even though I know they're big. I know they get ridiculously big, wide, and tall, but I'm just like, fuck.
And like,
it's a huge bitch.
They will total a car and be fine.
Yeah.
Also, I remember Mum was telling me when she was in Banff in Canada when she was doing her photography jazz. She had one of the girlfriends who was like working there ring up and be like, Dana, look, work isn't happening today. There is a moose on my porch and it won't move.
Oh, fuck.
So I have to stay in the house.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mooses are not great.
Like a pest.
Meese.
Mooses. They are a pest, aren't they?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in okay. the forest.
Right.
Right. So the plants grow at really odd angles because of the wind and the way everything goes.
Oh.
In fact, that the Native American tribe would only use the land when they were burying their dead.
Oh.
So, not great. Okay? I'm
getting bigger Pet Sematary vibes.
Very right big. Now. Yeah, Pet Sematary vibes. So there's also a native legend of some sort of bewitched stone somewhere in the mountains that is said to open up and swallow a human being in seconds if it's stepped on.
Okay. Fuck.
It's like a D&D trap.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down.
It kind of is. So the consensus of the white people and the colonials that came to the area was pretty much the same. About this land. They did not like it either. Lots of accounts of weird noises, being easily disorientated in the woods were really common, even though you weren't so far from people.
Oh.
This is probably why the town was abandoned pretty easily. Like,
yeah, this place is gross. Let's leave.
You're coming from the country and you work the land and you fucking fight for it, like with the fires and all that kind of jazz. My parents were like, this is the second time my house is going to burn down. This is fine. The house is fine.
Yeah, your parents stayed.
Yeah. And also, fun fact for everyone, the day that I called up my dad to be like, hi, I've just had spinal surgery and I can't walk anymore, was the day he was going to call me to be like, hey, can you come home and defend our house and farm?
Fucking brutal. Hell. When it brutal. Rains, it pours with you guys, doesn't it?
Your family is a fucking Victorian tragedy. Jesus Christ. Someone's paralyzed. The spine doesn't fucking work. Oh, bad puns.
So, look, we worked the land. We defend it with our lives.
And yet these people bailed.
And they were like, no. No, fuck this place.
This is a shithole.
There's some other places we can do. Let's go. So before I get into the disappearances, there was a notable murder that I thought I'd chuck in as a bonus.
Murder?
Hey,
a murder.
You know what we like.
In April 1892, mill worker Henry McDowell murdered John Crawley by stoving in his head with a rock.
Stoving?
Old school.
stove in.
Cain and Abel shit.
He fled town, but he was found. And when he was found, he was babbling about voices in his head that wouldn't leave him alone. And those voices told him to kill John Crowley.
As you do.
So instead of prison, or just straight up hanging him, he was sent into...
It's the time.
It's the time. They loved hanging people back then.
Look, the guillotine was used in France up until the 70s.
Look, they had shit going down. And then, you know, there was plenty of trees to hang him from in that place. he was sentenced to life at the Vermont State Asylum, where he escaped into the woods and was never seen again.
Oh, fuck, he went back to the woods.
He went back to the woods because that's where the voices told him to go.
There's a... Oh, I can't remember. There's this really weird book I read that's, like, similar. A guy escapes prison and he's, like, a murderer. And when he gets out into the woods, there's, like, this evil, weird alien thing living in this place that makes all the animals, like, weird and murderous, and it gets inside him and it makes him go and, like, kill this whole town of people. It's fucking wild, and I can't remember what it's called, but you just gave me mad flashbacks of it. And I'm just like, it's that guy.
It's that guy. Okay, now we're starting with the disappearances.
Yay.
Cool. First up, we have Middy Rivers, who disappeared in 1945. So Middy Rivers was 74 years old and the first to disappear. First notable person to disappear. Because
okay. It fucked everyone else.
Yeah.
Because it was weird.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So he was local and an incredibly experienced outdoorsman. So experienced, in fact, that he was leading a hunting and fishing trips into the area. And he did that for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what he was doing when he disappeared. Rivers was leading four hunters on a trek up the mountain. He was in the front of the group and got a little bit ahead of him. Turned a corner and vanished.
That makes my tummy drop.
He stepped on that stone. The police at the time knew Middy and knew how experienced he was with the wilderness, and they were super confident they were going to find him quickly. After a month of searching, the only thing they found of Middy was an unspent rifle cartridge in a creek that was too shallow to drown in.
Fuck, they would have gone searching then if they found something that small. Cause that's not big, is it? Like, they're pretty small.
Sketching with charcoal and playing guitar. She was one of four sisters and was a very experienced hiker and very physically fit. So on December 1st, she came back to her dorm, spoke to her roommate before saying she was going to go for a hike up the mountain. Several witnesses saw her walking the trail. She was easy to spot as she was wearing a bright red parka. Can we stop and think about Red Riding Hood vibes?
Exactly. I was just thinking that.
So Paula was last seen by an elderly couple hiking about 90 metres behind her. The couple spotted Weldon with her red parka on. She turned a corner in the trail ahead and was gone.
That's identical to what happened to
Maggie.
So
when they even reached the same spot, she was nowhere to be seen. Local search did a thorough search complete with bloodhounds. Her college shut down so that the students and faculty could help search for her.
Fuck.
And no trace has ever been found. She was 18 years old when she disappeared.
And she looks exactly
like our friend Miranda.
Oh.
I saw her and I was like, past life, Miranda. And I can't find my phone.
My phone won't use the internet for some reason anymore, so
I'm sorry. Ugh. I found it.
Okay. For those at home, she was sitting on it.
Shut up. I can't feel my legs anymore. Oh, I didn't know it was there. All right, so where did we record? Do we know? Oh, here we go. So this is Paula.
She does.
Oh, my gosh.
And Miranda.
Yeah.
Yes. I like how you put both of their photos together. That's a nice photo of Miranda.
It is.
It's a nice photo of Paula.
She looks beautiful. Anyway. So then we have... So she's... Nothing was ever found. So then we have a kind of a weird one. James Tedford, he disappeared in 1949. So it was actually exactly 3 years after Paula went missing on December the 1st, 1949, so same day. So James Tedford was a World War II vet, returning home to a veteran's house, a soldier's home, on a bus when he suddenly vanished. So Tedford got on a bus and was still on it at the stop before arriving at his final destination in Bennington, the soldier's home. So at the point between that stop before Bennington and Bennington Station, he disappeared while being on the bus. His suitcase was found in a luggage rack and an open bus timetable discovered on his vacant seat. He has not been seen since.
Like it was in full motion.
Yeah, wait. The bus was driving.
I remember that fucking me up when you told me that last time we recorded this. Oh, I don't like it.
Where did he go?
But also, like, added
spook. Like, you'd think you'd notice if someone tumbled out of the window.
So added spook to this, that I hadn't written down, but I found out later. He came back from World War II, and his wife was missing. Her name was Pearl. When they married, she was 28 and he was 52.
Ooh.
She went missing when he was away during the war.
As you do.
And the family remember seeing her at a gas station doing groceries. It was like their milk bar gas station.
Yeah. Virtually. Yeah.
And they never found her. They never saw her. And then like literally like 2 years later, he's disappeared too.
Shit.
Nobody's ever found Pearl. Nobody's ever found this guy.
Where did they go? I need to know. This stuff fucks me up. Because when there's always those missing, all of these missing people, they just disappeared by the trees. They didn't just disappear. Where did they go? Around a corner? Gone forever. And that scares me.
Their body has to be somewhere. It scares me so much. That's what's so weird about it. It's like those two girls that went missing in South America.
The ones with the pictures.
Yes, and their camera. Have you not heard about this? You probably have. Backpackers went hiking in South America somewhere, and they disappeared. And they eventually, after a long time, found their camera.
Yeah.
They found a backpack, and eventually they found one of their shoes with a foot in it. Or I think it was a shoe with a skeletonized foot in it. And basically they had photographs of them enjoying the day in the camera, like just normal. And then later it was just pitch black and they have no idea really what happened. And there's theories, like they think maybe one of them fell, like maybe they accidentally took a much harder track than they expected. One of them fell and the other one wouldn't leave. It's so sad.
Lisanne was 22 and Chris Kremers was 21.
Gonna need you to speak up louder, by the way, because you're not registering very well.
Do you want me to do that again?
No, it's all right. Just the whole time. Just keep talking much louder than you are.
Yeah, and they can't rule out foul play.
Fuck. Yeah, that's right. They can't.
Yeah.
Because they can't even find a body.
They found bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They found like a couple of bones, I think, and a foot. That's what I remember specifically because I was obsessed with the foot.
And it was months and months and months later.
Yeah, exactly. But the what they found was literally bleached, sun bleached.
Dry bone.
Yeah. Whoa. Like obviously bodies in different places rot faster.
Yes.
But very sad because they were very young. They're in their early 20s from memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, big shivers.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
Paul Jepson.
Ah!
Okay, so Paul Jepson disappeared in 1950. He's the youngest, 8 years old.
Aww.
He was sitting, waiting alone in the car for his mother for over an hour. When she came back, he was gone. So like Paula, Paul was wearing a red jacket.
Mm. Paula. Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
It took me a second. Sorry, I'm crashing from a caffeine high.
So huge search. Volunteers, helicopters, bloodhounds, hours and hours of search time. Nothing. He'd gone. His father later acknowledged to a newspaper that his son Paul had recently become quite obsessed with the woods.
Ooh.
And mentioned an inexplicable yen, because he didn't know how to say yen. So yen. Oh. Inexplicable yen to go to the mountains lately. Paul and Paula are the reason that wearing red on the mountain to this day is considered really bad luck.
Ooh.
Which is hard because in a lot of states in America, and even if it's not law, it's like widely done, you wear
as a hunter or as a camper, you wear bright clothes, yeah. Red, orange, quite popular, so that you don't get shot.
It's basically. Like even so you can be found is the other one, because I know on Everest there's a canyon or green part boots. Of the mountain. Well, green boots is a place where there's a body, but there's also a part of the mountain called the Rainbow Valley, I think it is. Hundreds of bodies, well, maybe not hundreds, I'm not really sure. A lot of bodies, many bodies, because they can't actually remove them from the mountain a lot of the time. Basically, all these bodies of people who've died on the mountain, various reasons. It is a very difficult mountain to climb. And they're, but parkas don't actually degrade a lot of the time. So there's just this, like, scattering of bright coloured, scattering of bright coloured parkas and tents and pants and stuff all up the mountainside. And it's apparently very strange and very scary.
That's super unsettling.
Who does a great video on the dead on Everest is Caitlin Moriarty.
Oh, yes.
Ask a Mortician on YouTube. She does. She's a fabulous. Excellent. And I like her fridge.
She also runs Death in the Afternoon. She does.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes, she has a podcast. It's very cool.
Yes, I like it. I like that a lot. So he was never found. And then 1950, so like literally 2 weeks after Paul disappeared, a 53-year-old lady called Frieda Langer was hiking with her cousin. She was an experienced hiker, knew the area incredibly well. She was about 5 minutes from camp when she slipped and fell into a stream. Rather than continue the hike soaking wet, she decided to go back to the camp and change.
Mm-hmm.
Her cousin continued his hike because she just planned to catch up with him. As they went up. But when he got back to camp, that he found that not only had she not made it to camp, but she had never come out of the woods.
Shit.
So she was 5 minutes away from camp.
What happened in that?
She never made it.
What happened? It drives me nuts. I can't fathom it.
So despite massive searches for her, there was no trace until 7 months later. Frieda's badly decomposed body was found in an area that had been meticulously searched multiple
missing
times.
Missing 411.
And her body was such in a state of severe decomp that it was impossible to determine cause of death.
Oh my God.
And they still don't know where so she went.
Fucking scary.
So those are the most
excuse me.
mysterious disappearances from the Bennington Triangle.
Ooh!
It also has lots of, it's also a big area for Bigfoot enthusiasts. lots of, because of the strange noises from the woods. I wanted to keep that just in case somebody does a Bigfoot situation, because this is like one of the key parks where he's meant to be in. So my sources.
Look how good we are doing sources. Mm-hmm. Well done, team.
Medium.com, listverse.com, allthatisinteresting.com, Obscure Vermont, which is a dope-ass, fabulous personal blog of Chad Abramovich. He basically started to document the wilderness and the weirdness of his own, like, home state.
That's really cute.
And he's, like, got lots of pictures and cool shit there.
That's cool.
That's awesome. What a good idea.
Ranker. Thank you.
Sweet Ranker.
And then, of course, the Charlie Project, which is a non-for-profit website that has the profiles of all the cold cases around the people who are, like, sort of neglected by the press.
Aww.
And forgotten all too soon. Like, you know, the hype ends. Yes. Yeah. There's nothing written about them.
No one's looking for them anymore.
And two YouTube videos, The Bennington Triangle Unexplained Disappearances by Top Mysteries and 5 Unsolved Mysteries by Weird World, who is an Australian dude.
Oh, cool.
So that is The Bennington Triangle.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty, one more trip through the woods, ladies. Let me just put my glasses on.
As a staple of every millennial kid, I feel, we all had an experience with the Blair Witch Project in our youth.
Yes!
Yeah. My fondest memory of it is like standing at like Blockbuster or like Video Easy and just standing in the horror section looking at every cover and just seeing its cover sitting there with like the top half of
her stick things.
Yeah, the stick things and the top and half of her forehead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
yes,
iconic. From that.
Oh, love it. God, my horror section was so small at our Blockbuster and it was always there. It made me very happy.
It's always had a copy. Faithful. always every horror, like every horror movie, like movie night, like getting the Blair Witch. It's there. We knew. So I don't know about you, but when I was like a young one, I was like, this thing is real. It's real. Yes. They're all in the forest and it's real. And I can't believe that this whole thing has just been published into VHS form.
Well, they did such a good job of making it realistic. And I'm pretty sure in our nostalgia episode, we talked about like how I was 100% on board that it was real. I was like, this is real. Witches exist. I'm going to die. Never leave the house.
Essentially. Yeah, like it just fooled everyone. Their like viral campaign was like so solid.
Genius.
So I thought I'd dive a little bit into like how it was made, just like what made it so convincing.
Fuck
and it's
yeah.
set in a forest, so here we are. alrighty. So Eduardo Sanchez and Daniel Myrick wrote a 35-page screenplay, which is basically just an outline. So like a screenplay is usually one page to equals to like 1 minute of footage. So 35 minutes is not long. So this was like loose as hell. The script was just like the bare bones of it, basically. So improv was one of their key tools. I think that's why it made such a convincing found footage film, was like everyone was so on board with the story they were trying to tell.
Yeah.
And like their improv skills were very good.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're also extremely good actors. Like, I've been to a couple of improv nights, not to do myself because I'm not an actor, but just to, like, support people I know who love drama and to watch. And fuck, some people are shit at it.
Yeah. It's really it's hard. Funny.
It is hard. It's super hard.
There we go. Yeah, so, like, again, with improv, like, dialogue's hard to write as it is. So the fact that they just didn't really write any and they just let them go was, like, very good. So when they had their call-out for auditions, the call-out pretty much read, an improvised feature film shot in a wooded location. It's going to be hell and most of you reading this shouldn't come. So I don't know about
That's
you.
So ominous.
Yeah, but that would make me want to go.
I know. Yeah. Part of me is like, fuck you, I'm going to come, I'll tough it out. And then the other part of me is like, don't be fucking stupid. You don't like it when there's no running hot water.
Like, that's just, that's hit on the head. It's exactly like the angel and the devil on my shoulders. Like,
I like camping, but I also love coming home and washing it all off and like putting on a million Lush body bath bullshit. Yes. I don't know. Everything that smell good, go on me now.
Mm-hmm. Something about a hot shower that can make you just feel very, very human. It's very good.
Yes.
So during the auditions, actors were asked like a bunch of bizarre questions. The one that they used like pretty consistently was, you've been in jail for 9 years. We're the parole board. Why should we let you go? And if the actors hesitated, they were sent straight home.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So Heather Donahue, Mike Williams, and Josh Leonard were chosen, and the film used their real names, which added to the hype around it all being real because they were like, it was their real names. Heather, when she was auditioned, replied to the parole question, why should we let you go? I don't think you should.
Brutal.
Yeah. She's super on board. It's great. So once they found their cast, Sanchez and Myrick sent them to Seneca Creek State Park for shooting. They were given a map, they were given food, they were given cameras and a general direction of like where to go. Everyone got like a 3-day crash course on how to use the cameras because there was zero crew following them. Like they were on their own. They were
completely alone. None at all.
Yeah. Shit. See, I couldn't do that job. We know how shit I am with my phone. So.
I haven't seen it in a hot minute, but you're right. Now you've just reminded me that there is literally only footage from each of them on their handhelds. I never thought about the fact that there's no like other shots, which makes sense because it was so realistic.
Exactly. Mm. So along the way, the directors had hidden like food and plot clues in milk crates. They were attached with like GPS tags so the actors could find them. So the clues were hidden in like little film canisters as well, and each actor that was addressed to them, and they had to hide their clues from one another to make the story feel convincing. So there was a producer named Greg Hale. He was in the military prior to his film career. And during training, they would have people pose as enemy soldiers, and they would hunt trainees through heavy terrain for like a couple of days, like about 3 days.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like it's brutal. And this influenced how the filmmakers would manipulate the cast as they shot. So each day they made them walk further through the woods with less and less food. And their directions became more and more cryptic. So the stress of the journey and the hunger kind of sent the tensions like super high, which you can tell when you see it. Like it's so tense at certain points, like especially when like, I think it's Josh throws the map away.
Yeah.
And they all just like all of that, like just tension and like vitriol is like, it's super real because they really did lose their map.
Yeah,
like they still had their GPS like things to find their food, but they didn't have their map.
Oh, that's
which is
terrifying.
Really scary. Hale had informed the cast prior to shooting, your safety is our primary concern, your comfort is not.
Ooh, I
yeah.
like it.
No,
that's so
no,
cool.
You.
So they knew what was up. So one day, lunch was like a sandwich and a bag of chips, maybe like some fruit. And then the next day was just a sandwich. The day after that, maybe just some chips. And then maybe there was no lunch the following day.
Oof.
So they would stagger.
That's the thing that would get me.
Yeah.
I'd be like, look, I can be dirty and I can be low on sleep and I can be cold, but fucking feed me.
Yeah. Big baby.
Feed me.
Yeah.
So with no lunch, just like we would all be, just like everyone was like really fucking irritable. At night, the directors and production crew would trek out into the woods and play creepy sounds on boomboxes and run and scream through the dark to scare the actors. Which I think, because I read a few like quotes from like the actors, and like sometimes they would just get so done with it because they'd be like, oh, here they go again, we have to act scared, because they were just so fucking exhausted, which is really funny in a way, just imagining the directors running through the dark with like John Cusack style with like a boombox.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Probably gleefully as well, like they're actually having a great time doing it, and these poor 100%. Fucking actors are just
probably,
like
probably down a couple of beers while they were doing it.
Yeah. So when Josh goes missing, in the film, so they had given him a note in his canister that pretty much told him, wait until everyone's asleep and then sneak out and just run.
So even they didn't know that he was going to be missing?
No.
Oh,
they woke up and he was just gone. So all of them panicking and being like, where's he gone? Was real.
She's real.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
So the director's like, once he up and ran, they found him and they put him in a car and they drove him home. And I think I read somewhere they took him to Denny's for dinner. Like, you did. Their veggie burgers fucking rock, by the way. They're so good.
Oh, I've been for Denny's. I've always wanted to.
It's just like, it's like always consistently like fine. Like you go there and it's like, it's like they just dump all the sides on the plate and there's like a burger, but it's always like, you know, like I'm going to go to Denny's and I'm going to get a veggie burger. It's going to be a massive pickle on the side and it's going to be fine. It's going to be what I want and it's not going to be a Michelin star dinner and I'm fine with that. And
it's
so
exactly
good.
Like Sizzler. Like,
yes, yes.
The quality of the food never changes. I'm pretty sure it is exactly the same recipes that they used when I was like 7 as they use now. But every like couple of times I'll go back to WA because you guys don't have Sizzlers on the East Coast.
No,
which
we had
makes
small
me very geeks. Sad. Yeah.
R.I.P.
I never had smorgies, so I cannot attest to whether or not it's the same. But every time I would like, not every time that I go home to Perth, but every so often I'd be like, can we please go to Sizzler? Because I want some of that weird garlic toast cheese bread that they do. And I want some of their very mediocre potato bake. And I want some of the corn chips and mince, just mince on the side. That's what I want right now. And a soup.
I have a very vivid memory of going to a Sizzlers in Queensland, and it was the best thing I ever had ever happened to me as being like 11 years old. And I ate so much minestrone.
Oh, yeah.
And like those like really like cylindrical, like tall bowls. And I was like, fucking A, salad and soup. And I just like, I was also sick.
And then there's the ice cream at the end that you can pump into your own bowl, and you're like, you don't know what power you have given me.
Right. It's like the soft serve with that, and you can just like hold it down and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's always some lady behind you that's looking at you with disgust and horror on her face. Like, who the fuck let this child out doing this? And you're like, I'm going to eat half of this and then it's going to turn into mush and then I'm going to drink part of it and it's going to be gross. Love it.
Yes. The highlight of childhood. Yeah. So after Denny's. Yeah. So after Denny's, Josh pretty much just went home and was like, they're like, lay low. Stay here. Just shh. Yeah. So we're going to go into a few more gross details, our favourite bits.
Oh, yeah.
Yum.
So after Josh is taken, Heather, in the film, she finds a bundle of sticks tied together with Josh's shirt. Inside is some teeth. One of the directors, Sanchez, his dentist actually donated real human teeth.
Holy fuck, that's cool.
Which is probably definitely some kind of, like, malpractice shit, but it's the 90s. Fuck it. So, those teeth were real, and, like, obviously, again, Heather not knowing what's in there opens it up and's like, holy fuck, there's blood and teeth in here. Ah. Mm. And there was also hair inside the bundle, and that was actually Josh's real hair. Like, they snipped some tuft of his hair.
I thought
there
was, like, an ear or some fleshy bit, but hair sounds right.
Yeah, I believe there may be... Oh, see, this is the thing. I haven't watched it in a hot minute either, and I should have, but I didn't.
How dare you not research for this episode?
I watched everything else on it except the actual fucking film itself. It's like doing an actual uni assignment. I didn't do any of the readings, but I read all the Spark notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then we've got Josh's hair, we've got the teeth, all that good shit. And then there is a scene not long after Josh goes missing where we were actually supposed to see the witch. So the film's art director, Ricardo Moreno, was out in the woods during the second act turn where Heather and Mike are running. They fled the tent. They're running through the woods in the dark. So Moreno was dressed like head to toe in this like white
like
get
witch
up.
Drag.
Yeah, it's like pretty much he was dressed all in white and his head was covered in a white stocking. It's supposed to look like really ethereal, like humanoid thing. And Heather actually sees him through the trees and screams, what the fuck is that? Like hysterically, because like they weren't to know that, like she wasn't to know that he was there.
Yeah. So they haven't even seen the script realistically, have they?
Yeah, they've seen like, I think they either saw like the first few pages or maybe nothing at all. They just knew that it was going to be like fully improv. Because like at the start when they're filming like in the town and like getting all the info for their like mockumentary, it's I think then they knew what they were supposed to be like looking for. But I think once they get to the woods, it's pretty much like you're on your own.
Sure.
No. So the camera that Mike was holding was he was supposed to pan left. Like he had gotten a note being like, when you're running through, film to the left, you'll see something. And he forgot to because he was so spooked. But the scene was never reshot, and I think that is so much better that way.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just like, don't, if you don't have to reveal the monster, don't improvise, adapt, overcome, that good shit.
Yeah, it's so rare, especially like some movies recently have gotten better at effects and what things should look like and, you know, in horror. But a lot of the time, if you don't really ever get to see it, it's so much better, even though you really want to fucking see it.
Yes.
It's very rare that your expectations and the reality match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of that's sort of like, yeah, I still think they could have been a little bit more obscure about it, but the ritual, the monster in that, that was one of the few that I've seen where I've been like, holy fuck, that's worse than I expected.
It's so horrific. It's so good. I know that monster very much.
Oh, me too. It doesn't fit the narrative because you've seen like the human hands throughout the movie gripping the tree and they're really high up, so you're like, all right, it's humanoid, but it's fucking not. And
spoilers.
So, yeah, exactly. Well, we don't say anything more, but so often you see like monster movies and they go with the, okay, it's a long humanoid creepy thing and it's got a weird face and there you go. That's it. It's the same in every fucking film, you know?
Slender Man clone, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Slight variation, same thing. It's the rake, it's Slender Man, it's fucking Samara from the Ring.
Yeah. It's scuttling towards you, but it's standing very still at the same time. Spooky.
Exactly. I mean, it is the same actor 98% of the time.
Yeah. It's either that girl that was in Silent Hill, because she's also in, like, the cabin in the woods and a bunch of other shit. She always plays like a horrific little girl. Or yep. there's the dude from Hellboy who plays Abe Sapien, who plays every awful humanoid thing from every Del Toro film.
Yes.
Because he's so good at, like, contortioning.
Yes, exactly. There used to be one guy who did them all as well. There was a couple of actors. Mm. They had, like disabilities and things like that that made their bodies look slightly odder than usual, and they would, like, totally fucking bendy. Exploit that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, anyone that's got, like, full body double jointedness and things like that, they're like, you, we want you. Come and crawl up this wall in a weird way.
Yeah. Hashtag Crimson Peak.
Oh, yes.
Alrighty. Bit of trivia. Did you know there were four endings shot for the film?
I did know there was more than one, but I didn't know there was four. Fuck.
Yeah. Ooh. So you can view all of these online, as I did.
Oh.
Yeah. So we've got the first, like, alternate ending is... No, actually, the first actual ending, like the actual ending in the film, is Mike standing perfectly still in the corner of the basement with his back to Heather, which is perfectly, it fits with the lore. It's really unnatural. Like, it's super spooky. Rustin Parr, who is the serial killer mentioned at the start of the film, that's how he killed all of the children. He would make one stand in the corner with their back to him while he killed the other.
Yeah.
So they could hear. Very spooky. So that one I think is a perfect ending, and I'm glad they picked it, and it's excellent. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the second ending has Mike standing amongst a bunch of the stick effigies, but he's actually facing Heather. I think this is a pretty cheap ending. It implies that he was in on it the whole time, which I think is incorrect. It's never any other time is that ever, like, hinted that he is in on it.
Yeah.
It's silly.
Mm.
The third is Mike is hanged from the ceiling.
Okay.
Kind of doesn't fit because it's like, why would he be hanged?
Yeah,
just because, like, finding somebody hanging is, like, super spooky because they're, like, wafting in the breeze and stuff.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. And I guess visually. You can kind of draw comparisons between him and the stick effigies hanging.
Yeah.
But you've got all this other really cool, like, stuff you've talked about, like the Rustin Parr thing with the kids facing the corner, etc. Use it. Like, don't leave those little, like, you know, signposts out for the audience and then be like, yeah, we totally we defied expectations.
Chekhov's child murder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we've got the last one, which is Mike is crucified on one of the effigies. Mm. And it's, like, hanging amongst a bunch of the other ones, which, again, it's no mention of crucifixion, and I feel like it's not very in brand with the witch, but it's, like, it's cool and it's shock value, and I get why they had filmed it and yada yada yada.
Yep.
So it's fine, but I still think the original ending they went with is perfect. Thank you very much, directors, for that.
Love it.
So then we have, like, all of the raw footage. There was about 19 hours of it, and that was cut down into 98 minutes of screen time.
God, somebody had to do that.
Yeah.
I have a hard enough time editing this shit.
That's fair. We're all over the fucking place, dude.
Yeah, there is a lot of rambling that I'm like, nobody wants to hear this. I'm just going to cut that out. That's on the cutting room floor.
We should do, like, a compilation of all the shit that's been cut. So all of the additional footage was used to create one of the first ever viral marketing campaigns. So they used all of the extra bits and pieces to just get that hype going. A website was created along with missing posters and props of actual evidence that was displayed in cinemas. Certain cinemas that were showing the film festivals, they had, like, grimy, like, tapes and, like, a shoe and this and that and pictures and missing posters and all that good stuff.
Fuck, that's so cool. It's so dope. No one goes this hard out anymore.
I know. It's such a missed opportunity, I feel, but then
again. I don't want a fucking popcorn canister with Spider-Man's face on it. I want to see fucking, I don't know, a shoe that's been part of a murder scene. Give me that.
I want a bundle of sticks with human teeth in it with my drink and popcorn. Thank you, Hoyts.
Yes, please. I would proudly display that.
So news outlets and websites began to report that the actors had actually gone missing. And Sanchez and Myrick didn't correct them because they were like to the actors, just lay low at home. Like, it's fine. We'll let this, like, advertising campaign go over and then you can just do whatever you want.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then Heather's mother started receiving sympathy cards in the mail from people what? Thinking that Heather was dead.
Why does everyone care about Heather the most? They're like, well, the other two, Mike and Josh, fuck them. It's not like their mum and dad got in the mail.
Yeah, all the research I've done, there's a lot of mention of Heather. She's their scream queen.
She stole the show.
Yes. Her snotty nose.
She's probably the most iconic character because I can't tell the other two apart, those two white guys.
I can't even remember them very, like, well when it comes to one of them's skinny, one of them's a bit bigger. That's all I really remember.
Yeah, the skinny dude is Josh. He has a ponytail.
Yes, and he disappears at the beginning.
Yes, and well, Mike is a little, Mike's a little stockier and he has a beanie on the whole time.
Yes, and he's the one who is facing the corner at the end. That's all I really remember.
Yes. So when the marketing website went live in 98, the film premiered in 99. It had a budget of $60K USD, and it grossed $249 million at the end of its theatrical release worldwide. Ayo.
That's massive.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's huge.
Well, this is the thing about horror films, because we were talking about this last year.
Yes.
They're so cheap to make, it's not even funny. Like Paranormal Activity, the first one, I think it cost him $10,000. And it has gone on to make him, because they refilmed it. It's not, the film you watch now for Paranormal Activity 1 is not the movie that he originally made. They refilmed it once the studio had seen it and went, this is a fucking goldmine.
Yeah.
And it it's a similar sort of like figures, like it went on to gross like $300 million or something like that.
It's insane. It's like the film Lights Out, the short film that that's based on, is so good and made me jump so high out of my chair. Like, it was so perfect. And it was so simple. It probably cost them like $100, couple hundred bucks to make.
Yeah. Oh, you just need to get someone with good SFX and that's it, and a camera. You can probably film it on an iPhone these days. Like, the iPhone 11 looks out of control.
It's so nice.
That's wild.
So, it really does just prove that people like seeing fucked up shit. Yep. Probably even more when they think it's real. Like, when you've got, like, LiveLeak and Reddit and all that shit. It's like...
yeah.
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 It's insane. And that is the story of the Blair Witch production.
Yay! Thank you!
Sources.
That was fucking excellent. Yeah,
sources. Thank you. Sources.
Sources. Vice, Wiki, and Mental Floss. And if you would like to watch the alternate endings are available on YouTube. We'll link them through our socials, weirdsisterspodcast.com.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. That was really cool. And it's not where my mind first went when we like were like, let's do a forest episode. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know many podcasts like ours that have covered something like it. So that's cool.
Yeah, we're the best.
Oh, we are.
We are. Thank you for listening. Good on you for choosing the best podcast on air right now.
Well done. You have excellent taste. Do we have anything else we need to talk about before we say goodbye?
Plug our socials one more time. You can find us at our very own domain, weirdsisterspodcast.com, for all of your social links.
Yes, we have Instagram there. We have a Facebook group that you can find from there where we ask you questions and share random weird pics that we like.
Articles, all the good
stuff. Yeah, we do polls and shit. We are going to start getting more and more active on there as well. So we're excited about that.
Very excited.
Yeah. So go there. Yeah. Go there and look at our stuff and listen to us ramble about shit in text form.
Yes, please and thank you. Whew. Wonderful.
Okay. Well,
we're all good.
I got nothing else to say. I'm done with people. get out of my house.
Alrighty. Until next time, hags.
See ya.
Right. Bye
See
now.
Ya. Bye.